the time I was 6 years old, I had experienced a lot of the things that a lot of six-year-old little girls should have experienced. Physical, mental, sexual abuse, poverty, lack of food, nutrition. And at that time, my mother, a single mother of three and a domestic violence survivor, looked in the eyes of a six-year-old, an eight-year-old, and a 14-year-old, and told us if it was better to migrate to America or to stay at home and continue living these circumstances. At that time, America became hope. And my mother decided that that was the best thing for us. We moved to the capital city where, because of lack of resources and funding or money, there were times where my brother and I would share an egg and my oldest brother and my mom would go to bed hungry. Without any money, we left Guatemala and it took us a year and a half to get to the United States. We went from town to town, from church to church, asking for shelter, for refuge, for food. And at 6 years old, I realized just how amazing people are. People would open their doors to us, would take their kids off of their bed and offer it to my brothers and I. And they would give us food and they would themselves walk us to the next town. At this time, I wasn't getting educated. I was learning survival skills from my mom. My oldest brother at the age of 14 started working to help my mother financially. When we got to the border, we completely ran out of money. They were charging us $3,000 per person to cross. Obviously, we didn't have that money. Luckily, we went to a church and one of the ladies told us that her son could help us pass. So when I was 7 and a half, I walked through the desert, through a little forest, and swam across the river to what I thought would be hope. And that couldn't have been furthest from the truth. The first thing that we did when we crossed over was walk to a home because we were starving. We had walked for a long time, and to me, it was an adventure. I was like, this is cool. Like, I'm walking through the desert. Why are we sleeping during the day? Why are we only walking at night? And it didn't really dawn on me the danger that I was in. When we walked to this house, the person was eating church chicken. I don't know if you guys know what church's chicken is. And he literally looked at us, threw the box of chicken on the ground, and told us to leave. And that was my first encounter with an American. Something completely different than what I was accustomed to all through Mexico. We made it to Brownsville, Texas, and my brother, who was 15 and a half at that time, and my mom started working at a fish factory taking the heads off of shrimps. And it took them 3 months to raise enough money so that we could buy tickets from Brownsville to Atlanta, Georgia. We were caught on the way from Brownsville to Houston, and that way we were going to go to Atlanta. So I was in detention center with my family. At that time, we had the catch and release. So my mom was let go, and we made it to Atlanta. Unfortunately, that meant that we had to go to court and all these things, processes that my mom didn't understand, didn't even speak the language. And by the time I was 10, the United States said that we could not seek refuge in America, and we were deported. Unfortunately, that meant that my mom had no choice. She left my sibling and I in the care of friends, while her and my oldest brother went back to Guatemala and took that journey again. So I was left behind with my brother, trying to fend for ourselves. When my mother came back, the same things persisted. I saw my mother work 3 jobs to make ends meet. We prayed endlessly every time we got in a car, hoping that no cop would stop us. Healthcare, education, our housing was a luxury that sometimes we could not afford. Nevertheless, my family's sacrifice had enabled me to really excel academically, as an athlete, and as a leader. And I was granted a Fulbright scholarship to go to college. When I was going through the college application process, Georgia did not want me to better myself. I wanted to stay home. I wanted to stay close to my family. Unfortunately, Georgia is very backwards. We're going backwards. And they don't accept undocumented students in the public universities. And even calling admissions counselors if I could apply, and they would tell me, you should go to community college because that's where people like you go. And here I was, a top athlete, graduated in the top percent of my class, leading all these organizations, and seeing my peers go to top universities. Why couldn't I? I have been in America since I was 8 years old. Why wasn't I afforded the same opportunities? When I was a top cadet in the Navy ROTC program, it was guaranteed the Navy scholarship. Not having a Social Security meant that I could not get it. After I spent 4 years harvesting a dream of serving this country and going to college and bettering myself, I had to let that book go. Went to college, wanted to do research, couldn't get the funding because of NIH guidelines. You have to have legal status. Wanted to go to med school, got accepted. Couldn't take out a loan to pay for medical school. When Trump was elected into office, I was living in California at this time. I feared for my family's safety. And that fear came alive when my stepfather was caught driving without a license and was put in detention center. This was October of 2017. Through almost a year and a half, we heard him call us and tell us, it's my time, it's my turn to sleep next to the toilet. They haven't fed us yet. Somebody in our cell is really sick and they're not seeing him. Paying endlessly, a lot of money just to have a conversation with my father. He was deported last year in September. And that took a toll, not only financially, but emotionally on my family. Sometimes I wonder, how did I get lucky that I'm at Johns Hopkins University? Why me? There's a lot of good people on this earth, in the United States, who live in the shadows. I was granted an opportunity to come out through the DACA program. Or even though I don't have a status, I have protection from deportation. How is it that I got lucky, but my brothers didn't? How is it that we use people's decency and humanity as a leveraging tool to advance a discriminatory agenda? It's more than numbers. It's more than trying to seek refuge. We are humans too. And a lot of the times we forget that. When I was 6 years old, I looked and I thought America was hope. And for the past almost 18 years, I have had to fight to belong. All I know is American history. All I know, if you ask me when the civil rights movement started, I will be able to tell you. When women got granted suffrage, I can tell you. This has been my home for majority of my life. And I think it's important that we understand that migration is not a crime. Seeking a better life is not a crime. Wanting something better for your future generations and your family is not a crime. My mother is not a criminal for wanting something better for me. And I don't want to be used to advance a political agenda at an expense of the mother who gave me wings to fly. So, moving forward, I ask that you really pay attention that when bills come around that you advocate, that you call your representative, that you educate those around you, create safe spaces for immigrants. Because it's not easy being in a country when you have been vilified, where your entire life or your whole livelihood, you have been considered a criminal. America has watered me. It has fed me. It has allowed me to grow. I am at Johns Hopkins University, one of the best universities in the world. And it was because my mother made that decision for us almost 2 decades ago to migrate us to the United States. It is their sacrifice that have enabled me to get here. My safety and my comfort should not come at the expense of the person who gave me life. My safety and my comfort should not come at the expense of 11 million people who didn't have the opportunity that I have to stand in front of you today to share my story. It's me, only me up here, but it's 11 million people that you probably will never meet, but will thank you when you advocate for them. Thank you.